Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us. You know, we've been talking about the 4th of July. You know, the Declaration of Independence signing day, where we got our independence from Great Britain. By the way, that was the day that Americans decided that we have to be independent from England. We have the King of England. We have to be separate from the King because of taxation, without representation. And one of the primary things that brought it to that point was pilgrims that were wanting to come to, well, actually were wanting to worship God. They became pilgrims because they had to, because they were, the king was not, queen was not letting them worship God. Hmm. And so with that, they went and eventually came to America and to freely worship. And ultimately, you know, here we were, you know, the Declaration of Independence was signed. And it said, you know, that we, and you can see this on the VFN TV blog. We have it available for you. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. It was a big statement because it was saying, you know, which says something very significantly, that it comes a day in time when every American, everyone who declares a loyalty to America, who stands up and waves the flag, who says, you know, that America is, it's an, its original intent, the American original intent, was right. It was a right thing to do. The pilgrims said, we had no choice. We'd rather die here freely worshiping God than, you know, staying in the Church of England where the king was over the church and that, you know, it was not right. You couldn't freely worship God. And which just goes to show you there comes a day in time. Think about this, Pat. There comes a day in time. Just like it happened when Jesus was walking on the streets of Jerusalem, mm-hmm. you know, and Capernaum and all the areas in Israel, that, you know, what is, well, may have been right at one time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why we're all speaking English today. It's one of the most biggest, largest language. Maybe Mandarin is now, maybe because it's got such a big population there.
Yeah.
But, that it was right to say, we're going to have to break away because you will not let things be as they're supposed to be to freely worship God. And so if we wave the flag today, mm-hmm. if we wave the flag today and we sing the Pledge of Allegiance and we declare our allegiance to the Constitution of the United States that says every man is created equal, you know, and their rights come from God. Mm-hmm. The right to pursue, you know, happiness and all the wonderful things that it talks about, then, you know, there seems to become a time in every generation that, you know, what was authentic and what is still authentic didn't move. It didn't progress. It didn't continue to follow when the cloud moved. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like the old wineskin and the new wine. One thing they have in common is they're both God. And so we mm-hmm. have to be real careful in honoring what is, while at the same time refusing to dishonor God when he's actually doing a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which is really not a new thing. It's just going back to his original intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in Revelation, he says, the church of Ephesus left their first love.
Right.
You know, and today so many things are being talked about what's loved. You know, I love this. I love that. But do we love Jesus
mm-hmm.
as our loyalty to the Lamb? And I think all of us can be challenged. I can be challenged in the area. But when you hear Mike Bickle at IHOP, you're like, oh my goodness, Lord, make my obsession going after you and seeing your beauty and your splendor. Lord, show me your face. Lord, help me get past everything man has created so I can get into your presence, for it's all going to fade away. That everything I see is temporary, but everything I don't see is eternal, and I will live with you forever. I want to know now who I'm going to see spoken about prophetically in Revelation chapter 4. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, Elijah said. and you're surrounded by the four living creatures that are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Worthy are you. Worthy are you." Why is he worthy? Because he took away our sin. There was nobody like him. There's nobody. All these false religions and all these people that are coming up with a different Jesus. Listen, there's only one Jesus. And you're called into his presence. You're called into an abiding relationship with him. Listen, just like in the founding of America, everybody who is committed to this great nation of America and that we want it to come back to its original intent, you know, and quite often it's like, I want everything cut except for what I'm actually receiving, you know. But when you say go back to your original intent, you got to be willing to be cut yourself. You know, you got it's all adjust.
Right.
And that's a huge adjustment because we've come a long ways from the original intent. But in regards to God, I mean, think about it. They made a decision and we celebrate every Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We celebrate, if people even remember anymore, we celebrate that pilgrimage coming over from England to America, to Plymouth Rock. We celebrate every 4th of July that we signed a document that we have locked down. It's locked down. Mm-hmm. It's locked down in and millions of dollars worth of security, you know, under pressurized vacuum. And alarms and everything. What is it? It's a paper that was signed. What is the sign? It's the signing of our Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. So there was a day that we had to declare our independence from that which took us away from God. Mm-hmm. And then the Declaration of Independence declares, and the Constitution declares, that we did not leave our God. As a matter of fact, this allows us to worship our God freely, and it says to the government, don't go there.
Right.
You know, which they're going there.
Yeah.
You know, don't go there. And so I want to encourage you that when you see somebody waving a flag for America, you know, it's time for us to wave the cross for Jesus. You know, we want to get back to the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be hearing, you know, in the future, and you may have heard last week, you know, Steve Hill said, you know, religion is hanging around the cross. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just hanging around the cross. But those who are really going after God are getting on the cross. But Jesus said this. Mm-hmm. He said that unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross, you can have no part of me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so we got to get up on the cross. We got to deny ourselves, our ideas, our thoughts, our, you know, in regards to if it's different than what Jesus is saying.
Right.
You know, we just kind of say, it's up to you, Lord. I mean, I'll just follow you. Mm-hmm. You know, and with that, you know, we're talking about the 4th of July, and I mentioned yesterday, I want to say this real quick, like, that the English language, remember, we're talking about, to our surprise, you know, ask Pat, remember, I asked you, when did the English language get? you know, I still haven't found it yet, right? We're still trying to master it down south. It's tough down south for us.
Yeah, very tough.
Hopefully, we're not like Bubba and whatever that thing. Anyway, so, it's in the 4th, the 5th, the 5th and the 4th and 5th century, right around there, is when English started coming, the old English started coming to pass. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we're talking about, you know, what we have an assumption that, you know, Jesus spoke English. Mm-hmm. where we're talking about, you know, these call to prayers that happen, you know, over the environment where a mosque goes up that, you know, the trap that you can fall into is the fact that since Jesus speaks English and I speak English, these words being uttered over me 5 times a day, you know, and it's actually more than 5 times because in that call to prayer itself, they say things 4 times, 2 times. Right. So you think, add all that up, 365 days. I mean, you can add, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That it does matter what words are being loosed in the air. It does matter because you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. You're wrestling against, you know, Ephesians 6:12. And so, and what the Lord will do, you know, the Lord just turns us over to things. Mm-hmm. If you haven't yet gotten the teaching on VFN TV, you got to go there. It is, you know, is America under judgment? Mm-hmm. And it just presents the evidence, presents the evidence. And it's, you know, looks at what's going on and then what God says about it. Looks what's going on, what God says about it. And then, but ultimately, to encourage you, that, you know, God loves us and has a plan for our life, and there's no sin too big that he can't forgive. But these things get, he turns us over to things so that our flesh would be destroyed, but we would be saved, and hope that it would actually bring us to a place of repentance. Mm-hmm. And so, but think about it. If there's three phases of judgment based in Romans chapter 1, we can stop. You know, we can stop before we get to the second phase. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let's just stop here. Okay, I got it. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that though you're seeing some things go on, you know that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and that, you know, with him and following him, despite what men says, because when you're transitioning from, like, when George Washington, will be, I think in the extra hour day, you'll be hearing, you know, the story about George Washington and this awesome man of integrity who says he fully believes that God is involved in the affairs of men, and that he read from the Bible and when he was being sworn into office, and that, you know, I mean, just a real man of integrity. So I hear a little about him today, since we're talking about the 4th of July and how he got here. But it just, when they sat down, they said, listen, we can no longer do that anymore. We're going to do this. There was a battle that ensued. So when you're transitioning from what has turned into captivity, mm-hmm. to what's turned into freedom, there's going to be a battle.
Right.
The battle is, you know, with the Redcoats, for example, you know, with the British, there was a battle with Americans who said, we want to go the way that we celebrate today.
Mm-hmm.
That came because there was a battle,
right?
You know, and in that, you know, we, if you don't want to go through the battle, you'll stay in captivity.
Right.
If you've been convinced that, you know, that it's just all, you know, like butter on sliced bread, mm-hmm. it's just smooth like that. You know, but Jesus said this. He says, the kingdom of God, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and it's forceful men that lay hold on it. You know, people will begin to use God's word in a way that makes it seem like what Jesus is doing is wrong. I mean, they spoke against Jesus as if what he was doing was wrong. He's God.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can the religious history of the United States be used as a precedent in court today? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I read a book that I believe by Dr. Sterling Lacey, A Valley of Decision, and in that he had a quote that the Supreme Court made a decision that America was emphatically Christian, and I was just wondering, would that not set a precedent for later courts?
Yeah, very, very good question. That was my PhD dissertation, and the Supreme Court starting in the 1840s all the way through the 1930s talked about America as a Christian nation, not in the sense that only Christians could lead it or only Christians would be citizens, but that Christianity and the Judeo-Christian tradition served as the fabric, the backbone of our culture and our moral values. I can't imagine that the Supreme Court today would even use those words, just the way the court operates, but it's a very, very different scenario right now.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done, yes, to cause this to come amongst our nation. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool.
And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes. Everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
I mean, think about this. They looked Jesus, which was God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. They looked Jesus square in his eye. The people that day, of the religious that day. The Pharisees, mm-hmm. and they looked Jesus square in his eye, God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they called him Satan.
Right.
You know what they're worried about? They were worried about their own kingdoms. They were worried about, they were jealous of his fruitfulness.
Right.
They envied what was going on. And Jesus is, it's like, we're all in the same family. I mean, isn't there just one king and one kingdom? Isn't that, mm-hmm. isn't it the church of Galatia, the church of Ephesus, the church of, Jersey, the church of Texas, the church of, Georgia, the church of Florida, mm-hmm. the church of Denver. I mean, that's how he sees it, by the way, mm-hmm. despite what men's turned it into. It's a regional thing because we're one body.
Right.
You know, we have different expressions, but we're still each other, we're brothers and we're sisters in the Lord, and that, daddy wants us all to focus on his son's kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually looked Jesus square in the eye when there was a transition between, 400 years of silence, moving out of the old covenant, moving into the new covenant. They tried to kill him at first, and they eventually did by God's choice at that point that he let it happen. They beat him. They lied about him. They tried to do him in. They spread words all over the communities trying to say negative things about, and it just actually fueled, it made it more popular. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sometimes the best thing that can happen to those who are walking for God is for the Pharisees to rise up and start pointing out things like, okay, let's rock and roll. This is it, man. This mm-hmm. is it. Let's do it.
Right.
Because they all started flocking to Jesus and they realized, oh my goodness, it's the real thing. It's the real thing, you know? And so, with that, there's a battle and there's a struggle that happened to bring this land to pass. And when for example, the Presbyterian church, the Presbyterians, before there was Presbyterians, there was a powerful move of God and revival, and they would not let them in. When God started moving, they wouldn't even let them in the church. They wouldn't even let them in the building. So they had to go meet in the woods, mm-hmm. which wasn't that strange back then, but today it would really be strange, because they had to find a place to meet. Mm-hmm. And the power of God was so strong on these people at that time that the women, their hair was really long, that they would, their you know how you take a whip and you go pop, pop, that the power of God was on these women, and it was so strong on them, they literally would just lean forward and jump, and they would come back in the power of God. And we know how that is, right?
Yeah.
And their hair would just like pop, like that. Wow. It would just pop. And there was they called it whip or something like that at that uh-huh. time. But that was how the Presbyterian church was birthed.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
But look how things progressed, it's everything, everything's going to begin for the fact that we're in it, men are in it, it's going to come to a place of just kind of stagnation.
Uh-huh.
And so God always begins to do a new thing. It doesn't mean that the Presbyterians are not of God. It means, no, they're of God. They're of God. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you'll find out we get set in our ways and we get kind of stuck and we get it all figured out, And so there was a battle. They made them, they forced them to find some other place to meet other than inside the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like every time God begins to do something, those who reside in any kind of containment area will do not want it to happen. It's not only containing that which is in there, but they're containing other things outside of it. That's what I know that Johnny Foote, you know, talks about, and others talk about, you know, that a lot of people, you know, expressions don't want prophets to come around.
Right.
Because they'll actually bring up something that God's saying. It's like, you're going to mess my plans up. If you come in here, you're going to mess my plans up. And so I'm going to encourage you. I just really sense in my spirit that the hope for America today, the hope for America today is the church. The church, I believe, is a byproduct. America, I believe, is a byproduct of the church. Yeah, we need to do what's right. We need to stand up for right candidates that we prayed about and we sought the Lord about. And we interviewed them ourselves and talked to them about, you know, that they stand with our values. But that's not going to save America. What's going to save America is, you know, for us to follow Jesus, mm-hmm. to follow him, mm-hmm. and be willing to go through the battle. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you.
That's right.
A student is not going to be treated any better than his teacher. I mean, don't do things to be hated, you know, but understand that, you know, this is what he says. You know, we'll talk about this on a future program, but he says that he was hated without reason, without cause. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of hate. You know, if you're just loving Jesus and doing what he told you to do and loving people and leading others to love God, you know, and somebody's hating on you, mm-hmm. that's actually a treasure. That's a badge that you'll wear in heaven, mm-hmm. that you continued on even when those that were held, you know, by a religious spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what was said over by Chuck Pierce when he talked about America. He said there'll be a sign in Washington, D.C. Brianna was on. You got to go back and listen to the earthquake report on the highlights on VFN TV. I mean, VFN radio. He said there'll be a sign in Washington, D.C., and the sign represents, you know, a shaking because the church government is stuck and that it's held captive by a religious spirit, mm-hmm. and we have to shift it. And a religious spirit, of a lot of things you can say about it, is the biggest thing is that we think we got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. Do this, then this, then this, then this. Versus get thee up and go, and I will show you. And then he tells us to do something like he told Abraham, and we're ready to do what he said. But then he says, never mind, don't do that. It's like, you just have this fear of God. He goes, now I see you fear me, when he didn't kill Isaac.
Right.
Now I see you fear me. Now I'm going to give to you what I, he's like, I thought you were going to give it to me back there. You know. And so I just want to encourage you that, you know, I just feel it in my spirit this morning to, you know, you got to say, am I willing to go through that battle? You know, and I sat down with my family, all my family members. I sat down with, you know, some of the leaders, all the leaders in our ministry. And I said, I want to go with Jesus. I want to do what he wants us to do. I want to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not looking into transfer growth from, you know, switching, you know, expressions. There's lost. You know, if only 4% of the children in the world even know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that means 96% don't. Mm. You know, is that not enough to quit being religious,
right,
and start being relational and just in relationship? You don't give up order. Mm-hmm. You just got to relate to people. You can't say you're related. You actually got to love them. You know,
right.
You got to spend time with them. And you find out that you can only do that with so many people. So you actually train them up to have relationships as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, family, what a concept. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I want to encourage you. I knew that when we're taking the route that we're taking, that, you know, we're going to, you know, get the things that happen. But, you know, for me talking to you, it's worth it. I'm encouraging you. If we're encouraging you.
Right.
And you're being inspired to go after God. If you're beginning to abide, you know, we have people, you know, somebody just recently was signing up for an abiding plan, you know, and I don't want to say too much about it, but I'm very excited about that. That's encouraging to see people getting saved and seeing, you know, a Marine who was at the end of himself and thought it was all over, but he heard VFN radio and he cried out to God and God filled him. And now he's actually a believer and he's being discipled by somebody, mm-hmm. in VFN family. We have people who thought they could never be used by God because the religious folk, they said, you have to be this way and you have to have a $2.3 million this. And this one's like, oh my goodness, I can't even balance my checkbook. How am I going to follow Jesus and serve him?
Right.
And so in that, you know, we're seeing people be confident after hearing the words of Jesus that they can serve God. They can be faithful in their generation. It's worth all that. It's worth all that. Mm-hmm. Is it not?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth that. So if you're willing, if you know, sort of like I think about, you know, Tozer that we talked about, you know, A.W. Tozer, he says, you know, to something to the effect that I don't have it in front of me, you know, but to be right with God often means to be in trouble with men.
Right.
And that's what Jesus was. Jesus was right with the Father, and there was men that he was in trouble with. But listen to this. But there was a multitude
mm-hmm.
that was so thankful, and we're some of those.
Amen.
That he followed the Father.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Totally awesome. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States. Because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you, so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, we like to talk about also, the original intent of the church and the original intent of the nation. And in that, today, you think about what was the original documents, the original thoughts, you know, and of course, there was a lot of thoughts. You had the Federalist Papers that mm-hmm. you can actually read. And by the way, I read about half of them.
Right.
And this was stuff that they were writing back and forth in the Federalist Papers under code names, you know.
Uh-huh.
Getting out of here, Mister. Get out of here. Leave the king, and it was pretty interesting with their mm-hmm. thought patterns. It's nothing like the thought pattern of today, and but the thought pattern today has happened because the thought pattern of the church has changed, and so mm-hmm. we don't want to, you know, think it's a political thing. But in that understanding that
So what did they write when they finally came together, when they thought it all the way through, when they thought it all the way through and said, okay, we're going to write this thing down. By the way, that first thing they wrote, well, not the first thing, but the official thing they wrote was the Declaration of Independence. And that was their declaration. Okay, we decided, you know, our forefathers, they decided to say, listen, we're going to have to step away from the king because of many reasons, not just taxation without representation. But the biggest thing was, you know, no, the church. You couldn't even, the church, the king took over the church. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you had to, there's only one church, he said, and he was over it. And that's a huge one. That's why the First Amendment's about that. And the other, one of the other things is representative government, that they would make decisions. And in America, or in the colonies, 13 colonies, and by the time the king heard about it, he would change it. He would just go, you know, as a king can do, and they would change it. He said, this king thing ain't working out over here, because we came over here to be free from that kind of oppression. We want to be able to worship God freely, and we don't think that the government should have any
control
or make any laws concerning God, religion. And that we should be able to gather. They can't tell us we can't gather. We should be able to gather at any time. And you're looking at the opposite of that happening today. It looks like America is going in the total opposite direction. But to remember that, we're going to play the, you're going to hear the first few words of the Declaration of Independence, which is very important. We should memorize these words. And we're also going to hear the preamble to the Constitution as Robert Freeman reads them. Listen up.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Those are such powerful words, and it was the first words they began to write down, which is, you know, if you taken writing in English, and you know, the very first thing you say has to talk about everything that justifies everything else you're about to say. You don't just wander off and say whatever and then start writing about what you really mean. The first thing you say sets the foundation for everything else that's going to be said. And those, you know, we hold those truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal by our Creator. Think about it. And it's like, And it's like, we got to get back to the original intent of our nation, and that with it, you know, we have rights, but our rights come from God, not from men. It's not, we don't look to Washington, D.C. to give us our rights. We look to God. Our rights come from God. But you find out that when you hear, you know, things, statements made by our president and others there saying that the Bill of Rights is a list of negative rights. It's a list of negative rights. And it's like, no, actually, it just acknowledges some of the rights that we involve government in that we got from God. So really, you know, it doesn't really matter what you think about them, because it's a government by the people and for the people. And that, and it says, you know, when it becomes self-evident that this ain't working, since we can rechange that. It's defined that way. And it was getting away from the oppression of the king. And it was coming to a free country, a nation, an idea of freedom, and that we can, under God, with a moral nation, with God as the head, it can it can survive. You can do it. And it's been proven so far, but we're wandering off our wandering from our original intent. And if we get back, and we can get back, I really believe, I mean, we got some bumpy roads coming, but there's nothing like a big bump in the road that puts your priorities right.
We'll get you right back in perspective.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you, you'll be hearing a lot of this as we progress into 2013, is that it's time for the church to lift Jesus up. Mm. It's time, just lift him up. He says, you know, if I'll be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. You know, don't lift anything else up but Jesus. And he will draw people to him, and it's in that discipleship and abiding with him that he begins to bring everything back to a place that he wants it to be all over the world. And so 2013, you're going to be hearing this continually. You know, it's time to lift Jesus up. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can, he says, if we're going to talk more about this, but the original tent of America is, listen, it has to be a moral and a religious people. It has to be in the Bible is what our founding fathers had. And that's what they defined it by. They had probably had no idea where it would be taken eventually, but it was with that. And I believe it's something like 27 images of the Ten Commandments are in the Supreme Court painted on the walls of the Supreme Court. And what they say today is that's Moses holding the, I forget what they say. It's crazy, whatever they say. Something, you know, it wouldn't, obviously Moses wouldn't be holding something that was like 4,000 years later. But it was something, like, that's last week's memo from the, it's like, it's just something made up. I can't tell you what it is right now because it's totally left my mind. But it's just something so silly that justifies the ignorance of today. But I want to encourage you that that's the original tent. I want you to listen to that. Listen again and again. Put that as a part. You know, you can have it in your highlights on your app and on your computer. You go to VFNTV.com and listen to it. You can go to VFN Torch and just download it, use it, hear it, and just say, you know what? I want that part of my heart. I want that part of my life because that's who we are. That's our original intent for this nation. And then get back in the Word of God, the plumb line, as we talked about, because that's God's original intent for me, for his church.
Well, you know, I want to be able to, speaking of original intent of our nation, I want to ask you guys a couple questions. And I feel confidently you're going to get them right. For all those that are watching
this
on CTN, you can see it.
Yeah,
and all those, it's like, you know, all those who are on radio, I have given them the answers.
Oh, okay.
So they've got, this is an open constitution test.
Oh, okay.
This is, by the way, it is an open constitution test. You can read it anytime you want to.
Anytime you like.
And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a question, and as you're thinking about what the answer is, in other words, you're looking at all your notes, we're going to give you time to actually look it over. You're going to hear, which gives you time to be able to look it up, and it gives our audience time to be able to think about this. This is so important because our Constitution is what we're made up of. It's a very important thing. This is where you get your rights from. This is why a police officer has to have a probable cause to be able to search you or stop you in these different things, and why a lot of other things. And so it's important to know. This is the original intent. And of course, if you get it wrong or you're thinking too long, and if you get it right, of course, and if we just feel like it,
the gong show.
So here it is. This, look at him looking intently in the note. You can see it right now.
Look at the beads. Look at the beads.
This is the question. What year?
He's reading, speed reading.
What year did George Washington get his first wig? He's looking at the paper.
I'm looking over here.
I know it's there.
Yeah, I know it's there. Okay, what year was the Declaration of Independence signed? What year was the Declaration of Independence signed? John.
1776.
Very good. Pat, what day was it signed?
Monday.
Monday. What day?
July 4th.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Maybe you stopped the noise.
He has an answer. What are you talking about?
That's very good. So when you're celebrating, it's not about just hot dogs and firecrackers.
Mm.
Those fireworks represent the battle that was taking place for our country, the American Revolution that was taking place. So that's what think about it. It's not about this beautiful thing to make you feel good.
Right.
It's to remember they fought for our country in the context of that. John.
Mm.
So that's when we declared our independence from King who?
George.
That's right. Whose mother told him what? Go be king.
Okay.
Go be king. He was like, they're taking my gun to England from. It's like, go be king. Like I told you to. Anyway, so anyway.
Gosh.
I know. Anyway, and so what year after we declared our independence in the context of this, then we had to write out, you know, how are we going to operate this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And how, because we want it to be a government that the people are. No more kings, right? Because we declared our independence from the whole concept of kings and tyranny and all that. So they began to write a particular document, and they're going to write out in this thing how we were going to be made, how America was going to operate. What is that document, Pat? What's the document?
The U.S. Constitution.
There it is. In what year was the U.S. Constitution signed?
1778.
Very good. It's so much smoother when we give the answers out, isn't it? And, you know, we're really wanting you to think about this. We're wanting you to get your brain to get thinking about this. And one last thing before we go. John.
Yes.
John Paul. What year was the Bill of Civil Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, what year were they signed in? You know it already? What was it?
1791.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Producer.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type. And especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order.
Yeah.
And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
Don't
and take. I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can that be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, I'm going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our southern draw. That we got to really enunciate our words and speak more like John
Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus on
it. He does really good. I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Instead of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. Right. He's like, oh, I didn't
know
about
that
one.
Are you calling me heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill. What does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the M-E-A-L?
Yes. M-E-A-L. Meal. Meal.
How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Cheat.
Yeah.
No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And let me tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes back, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this. Cheat. Nope. Don't do.
I eat.
Yeah. That was the final thing. I eat. And that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Sophisticated. Oh my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and I
doubt.
Have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
What Israel left behind, remember this, what Israel left behind when they said, God, we no longer want your form of government. Mm. We want a king like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, and so all of a sudden, God, you know, Samuel goes and he's upset. And Samuel is the prophet. He, you know, he's the apostolic prophet that's there, that's leading God's people. And which means God's speaking to him and he's just sharing what God is saying to the people and people are following. Up to that point, that's how it was. And then, so he's upset. He's going like, my goodness, they're rejecting my leadership and da, 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 da. And God goes, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Give them what they want. And so he goes back to the people of Israel, God's chosen people, and he prophesies to them. And he tells them everything that God has done under his form of leadership and his form of government. You know, being led into through the wilderness, being set free from captivity, you know, manna and parting of the Red Sea and all the things that he had done. And at the very end, they still had one more moment. One more moment in time where they could have said, I don't know what we were thinking. I don't know what got into us. We obviously are walking darkness right now. I think that we want to leave you, God, and your form of government. And they could have said, God, please forgive us. We turn back to you. We don't want a king like everyone else. But instead, they said what? Give us a king. They still said, give us a king because they wanted socialism. No, they wanted government to meet their needs. Because they could tangibly see in their own brain. And I am so tired of believers trying to find God in our finite minds. Listen, we're not that smart. Understand, God created every brain that ever was, ever is, and ever exists. And your brain is only part of that, and you're only using 10% of it, reportedly. So hang it up. It's not going to fit in your brain. It's called faith in your heart. And so they went with their brain and their thought, and they did what was right in their own mind, and they went for a king. So God gave them Saul, but that's how the king started in the context of that, because God's people, they left his form of government, one nation under God. Israel was one nation under God now. And you can hear more about the details of this transition, because today it's the same thing, a tale of two kings, SOS. SOS is this emergency signal being tapped out. We might even have that emergency signal. But it's just tapping it out. And that's what's happening right now. What you've been hearing on VFN radio and throughout the nation is this tapping out of the SOS emergency signal that's been going on. In the context of that, we can respond and say, you know, SOS means send me help. You know, send me revelation. And God's been speaking. It's a tale between two kings, King Jesus and King Saul, men's form of government. And in the context of that, we can still choose God. We can choose Jesus as our king. They were one nation under God. Think about it. One nation under God, and they gave it up. Israel gave it up. We look back, and we teach on it, and the church talks about it. We think, how in the world would they ever do that? Well, guess what? They declared their dependency on a king that day. But on July 4th, 1776, our founding fathers declared our independency from a king. King George III. Why? Because they found this God. The Bible, as we talked about, was translated into a language they could understand, and they met the God of the Bible. And they said, wait a minute. We can live as free men if we have God over us. Remember now, Israel said, we're not satisfied with God over us, one nation under God. We want a king over us. This is how significant America is. And I'm just finding out myself, because I'm willing to throw away anything that's not God's done with it or whatever. I mean, I'm ready to move on. But understanding what happened with our founding fathers and why it's been such a blessed nation is we walked out back into what Israel walked out of. Because remember, Israel was scattered all over the face of the earth when America became a nation. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, they said, we hold these truths self-evident, and all the things we talked about that you just heard, that we have to declare our independence from a king. And some people say, that's rebellion. No, the true rebellion was when Israel said, we declare our independence from you, God, and we want a king. And we've been under kings and queens so long, and tyrannical governments and these supposed supreme leaders, that all of a sudden we get back to normal. We don't know how to handle it. In a few years, we start talking about the concept of going back under a king again. Mm. One nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty for all. That's why we have to keep this fire burning. It's not America. It's the God over America. We need to repent and to say, like Israel, they could have done it that one moment. They could have said, I hear the prophet Samuel. I hear what's being said. And God, we want to be under you. We don't want to be under a king. We don't want to be under tyrannical leadership. We understand it. You're tapping out a message. You're tapping out a message. You're tapping out a message. SOS. SOS. Which is a save our ship. Save our ship is what that means. And it's just this Morse code tapping out sound. And you can just hear it tapping in your spirit. And that's what the Lord's saying. He's responding to us with this prophetic word, but we still have to make the decision. We can't end this with saying, yeah, but I want a king. I want to be like Great Britain. I want to be like this government. I want to be like the government. I want to be one nation under God. And how did that come to pass? It came to pass when the word of God was freed from religious captivity and translated into a language that men could understand it. When they read the living, active word of God, it divided all the lies from all the truth. And men were able to meet this God and abide with God. And all of a sudden, the fruit of abiding with Jesus Christ was the United States of America, was the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution. And the only way America works, the only way it works, is being one nation under God. What came of it? Well, let me tell you what came of it. Israel came of it. Because we helped, God used us to facilitate by his spirit, by his mercy, by his grace, by a president who was raised on his mama's knees, being taught the word of God that was translated. After he removed a president that wasn't going to allow it to happen, 2 weeks after he signed a document with Jordan saying that it wouldn't happen, that he said he signed the paperwork for Israel to be a democracy, one nation under God. And today, Israel is not under a king. Israel is a government by the people and for the people. And the only way that they can exist, the only way that they can exist is one nation under God. And read about it. They will exist and God will protect them and they will stand till the end. The question is, are we going to give up one nation under God? I mean, granted, I was with you. I was like, okay, hey, you know, what is this Americanism stuff? What's all that kind of? And then I found out God spoke to me. He gave me that word. It's like we went back into what Israel came out of, and God used us to facilitate bringing Israel in. That's why we're in this relationship with Israel, because we've partnered through this. They helped fund our Revolutionary War. You know, all these, there's so many things. You know, we had a place of refuge. Half the Jews on the face of the earth are in this nation of America under God. Listen, God is in this. We need to humble ourselves, pray, turn from our wicked ways, and realize it's not about all this other stuff. It's about God who loves us and has a plan for our life. Begin to abide with him again. Accept his form of government. Trust him to provide for us. And we do that by beginning to offer our first fruits to Him, offer our life to Him, abide and read the word that people gave their life for us to be able to read. And it's so powerful that even the unction of the power of God's word caused a president to remember the words his mother taught him from the scriptures that said, "This is good. Those who bless Israel, I will bless." And he said, "I'm going to sign it." Mm. And he signed it. He signed Israel become a nation.
Harry Truman.
That's exactly
it. Powerful, powerful president.
Taught the word of God. But understand, he would not have known it if it would not have been for Tyndale and Wycliffe who translated it. And all this connects. And we are part of, if we understand where we came from and get back to the place that we were, then we can truly be that city on the hill. We can be that one nation under God again. These are exciting, exciting days.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today at one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour, there's that break, you go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring. During that intro, when it's coming down, all of our VFN radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I got to wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. Yeah, you can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central, the weekend marathon.